In the very things that he was most prideful about in himself, he was merciless about in other people. You might remember a parable in Matthew 18 about a servant who owed his master, you know, a huge sum of money, several thousand talents of money. Didn't have anything to pay it for, was out of luck, and the guy said, well, okay, well, we're going to sell you into slavery and your wife and family too. And the guy just fell apart. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, please don't do that, please don't do that, please, please, please. And the guy said, you know, he had compassion. He said, okay, I'll forgive you. And then that same guy went out and had a servant who, or a fellow servant who owed him a couple hundred denarii, you know, just chump change compared to the other thing, and had him thrown into prison for it. And the other servants heard about it and went to his master and said, look, you know, a little bit of two-faced stuff going on here. I don't think that guy originally had a change of heart. I don't think he was repentant. I think he probably justified all the million reasons why he was in debt. And so, when it came time for the shoe to be on the other foot, he was merciless to this other guy. So the things we're most prideful about in ourselves can be the things we're most merciless about in others. Two things we need to watch out for: jealousy and pride. Second thing, Jesus. How did Jesus handle this? First of all, he saw right through the hypocrisy of these Pharisees and scribes. He, you know, Christ knows our heart. We don't hide anything from him. He looks right through us. We're like clear glass to him. He knows us a million times better than we know ourselves. And he knew these people were not motivated by love. They weren't motivated by a passion for God. They were motivated by pride and motivated by jealousy. They had a prideful arrogance over this poor, pathetic woman in the dust. And they were jealous, a bitter, horrible jealousy over Christ, because of the flock of people that he was attracting and taking away their power. So he saw right through him. He saw these very things. And rather than fall into their trap, he took a whole different approach. This is what he said. He said, he who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. In other words, he neither condemned her, nor did he excuse her. He didn't condemn her, and he didn't excuse her sin either. He simply laid their hearts out on the table and exposed them for what they were. And then he went back to writing in the sand. Now, people have speculated, well, what was he writing in the sand, you know? Maybe he was writing their sins out in the sand, you know, so that they could see it and maybe nobody else saw it. Well, maybe. I don't know. You know, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It's certainly possible. As I said, Christ knows our hearts. He knew their hearts. He knows everything. He could have been writing those very things that they were complicit in. But whatever he was writing, one by one, their consciences convicted them. They saw what they were about to do with this woman. And if Jesus knew their heart, if he was about to expose something, they didn't want that out on the table. They didn't want to be on the receiving end of those stones and rocks and be publicly humiliated themselves. So one by one, starting with the oldest. Isn't that interesting? The older guy, maybe he had 60 years of adultery instead of only 10 or 15. Starting with the oldest one, they started walking away until no one was left but Christ and this woman. I think that's interesting too, because they could have simply dropped the rock. But you notice they dropped the rock and they left. That tells me they were scared. They could have just dropped the rock and said, well, you know, old so-and-so over there, he's not throwing any. Well, I'm not going to go ahead. You know, it's not a party anymore. But they left. They didn't want to be around when Jesus started saying, well, by the way, you're going to throw that stone? What about this? What about this other thing over here? Do you remember that? Do you remember this day? They didn't want to be exposed. So they only dropped their rock. They hightailed it. They're like, well, I think it's getting a little warm in here. I think I'll go down to the well. There's a Samaritan woman over there that I just, you know, a good relationship with. So they left. And what did Jesus do with her sin? How did he confront her? Well, as we said, two ways. Number one, he did not condemn her. And number two, he did not excuse her. He found this amazing balance in between, and we should follow that example. Number one, he never crushed her spirit with hammering words. In other words, he never picked up a stone, even though he was without sin. He was the one guy there who could have picked up a stone. But he never did that. Neither did he use words as stones. He never crushed her spirit beneath his words. And we don't have to be abusive to convict people about sin. Actually, we can do nothing to convict people about sin. The Holy Spirit has to convict people about sin. I mean, we can speak words, but unless the Holy Spirit does a work in the heart, you know, a wise man welcomes a rebuke. He loves you for your rebuke, but if you can beat with a fool with 1,000 stripes, and he'll still be a fool. It says right in Scripture, man. A fool will go through hell and back and still be a fool. So he didn't crush her to convict her of his sin. You know, Proverbs 25:15 says, a gentle tongue breaks a bone. That's spiritual martial arts. It's a technique. The gentle tongue, you know, you can just like lash out with that. Whoosh. Like Bruce Lee said, be like water. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. It's a strange image, but it's true. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you also be tempted. You know, truth is weighty. If you speak the truth, the gravity of the truth will carry its own weight. The truth sometimes doesn't. You don't have to say much if you speak the truth. The truth on its own can break down a door. He never attacked her personally. He stuck to the issues. He never called her names, didn't call her Jezebel. You Jezebel, you hussy, you floozy. You know, those modern words that we all use nowadays when we talk about. He didn't attack her personally. I mean, he did call the Pharisees names once, but his purpose wasn't redemptive there. He wasn't trying to get them to repent. He was trying to break the bondage of fear that they held over people. But he didn't condemn her. But notice also, on the other hand, he also did not excuse her sin. He didn't say, you know what, sweetheart, don't worry. God's okay with your sin. He loves you. He understands. You're not catching him by surprise. Go ahead and sin some more. Yeah, go and sin some more. He didn't excuse her sin. He was confrontational about it. He said, go and sin no more. He called it sin. He didn't say, I understand. You were lonely. It's not really wrong. You just compromised. It was just a stumble. It was just an indiscretion. He says, it's sin. He said, go and sin no more. The guy spoke to about a month or so ago, the guy at the water, with the five porches all around, that wanted somebody to throw him in the water so he could be healed, and Jesus healed him. He said the same thing to him, only he said this to this guy. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Well, what could be worse than either being crippled or stoned to death? How about eternity in hell? Go and sin no more. You think this is bad? There are worse than this. It could get worse. You don't want that. I can save you from this. And if you will repent, I'll save you from the other as well. But you need to have a change of heart. And that sounds pretty simple. But, you know, our society, our culture misses that. They don't want to talk about that stuff. Christ was telling her to turn from her sin and walk out her faith. So even though we don't condemn people, neither should we lead them astray. Even though we don't, you know, call them names, neither should we excuse their sin and say, well, it's okay, you know, just try harder next time. Because if we let them think that sin has no consequences, we're not speaking the truth in love. We're not doing them any favors. We're allowing them to continue in something that's going to destroy their life and the lives of the people all around them. So, summing it up, how do we deal with the sin of another person? All in a nutshell. Number one, don't ignore it. You know, don't jump down their throat the moment they sin, but don't ignore it. Love them enough to come alongside of them and offer your help and grace and prayers and encouragement. Don't ignore it. Number two, check your motives. Make sure you're not jealous or proud. Make sure you're motivated by a love for the sinner and a passion for righteousness and a desire to see them have all that God has for them. Number three, don't condemn the person. Don't call them names. Stay away from personal attacks. No, you know, just a spirit of gentleness. Spiritual martial arts, man. Use that gentle tongue. Break some bones. And finally, number four, don't excuse the sin. Don't mislead them. If what they has done has hurt you, let them know. Let them know. Gee, you know, you may not realize it, but when you do that, that hurts me. It makes me feel like whatever, you know. It makes me feel like I got no money to pay the bills because you just went out and bought the other thing. Makes me feel broke, frankly. You know, the last time you smacked me in the face and gave me a black eye and knocked out two of my teeth, that hurts when you do that. Seriously, stick to the issues. No personal attacks. If you stick to the issues, the weight of the truth will carry its own power. Don't ignore it. Check your motives. Don't condemn. And above all, don't excuse. Tell them the truth in love. And then come alongside and walk that path with them and be there for them, to pray for them and encourage them and help them to overcome those things that, as Scripture says, the sins that so easily beset us and trip us up. Amen.